Guess who's back?
Who? Jesus Christ.
Did you grow up with the NES, PlayStation, Star Wars, cartoons, and 80s TV? Do you like to think who would win in a fight between Batman and the Master Chief? Comics, games, movies, music, and TV. They're gonna tell you everything you need. Superheroes or not, they got your back. They're gonna save the world of geeks. Movies, music, and TV. They're gonna tell you everything you need. Superheroes or not, they got your back. They're gonna save the world of this week and kink. This week and kink.
Well, hello. It has been a while. It's been an interesting last week or so. I have been very busy, also sick, also family members sick. More on that later, but what is in this week's Turd or Treasure? Well, we've got a Dick Tracy collection from Film Chest. We've also got People Are Funny from Film Chest, which is a 1950s game show that was one of the first shows to ever have reruns, which is kind of a neat, interesting fact. We've also got The Shield, the complete series repackaged on DVD from Mill Creek. We've also, on top of that, got the brand new movie from VVS Films, Drunk Parents, which is going to be out very soon on home video, and I had the opportunity to review it ahead of time. Then we also have Triple Threat and Big Brother. Both of those films are from Wellgo USA, which are putting out some pretty fine and interesting action films lately. And finally, we have Bubsy, the brand new game from Accolade, which I didn't know was coming out until I had the opportunity to review it. And I thought, hey, let's give that a try. You know what? I'm the guy in the crew that always gives Bubsy a go. I'm the one that gives everybody a chance. So you'll have to listen to see how that went. And we're going to get into the reviews right now. And then in the middle, I'm going to sort of talk about what the week's been like, sort of the craziness that has been what's going on with Alex lately. And then we'll have a little more reviews and we'll close out the show. So without further ado, here's the first review.
This is a fair request, and I promise I will not judge any person only as a teenager. And that this is no more right than saying all teenagers are drunken dope addicts or glue sniffers.
Our friends at Film Chest sent over a box set of Dick Tracy stuff. Stuff is the best way I can put it because it's a mixture of everything. You get 15 episode Republic serial from 1937, four studio films from the 40s, and four rare episodes of the television series that aired in 1950. It comes in one of those Amaray like multi-disc clamshell boxes with a cardboard box cover that even has my favorite thing. I don't know if you can hear it here. Ooh, yeah, that's that little Velcro strip on the front that when you open it up, it reveals more marketing information, giving you a breakdown on each of the chapters, as well as the movies, which they say movies, 60 minutes, but you got to remember back in the 40s, a lot of movies could be exactly 60 minutes because they would be paired with an 8 or a 16-minute short beforehand, like a Three Stooges or something like that. So then you've got, it says approximately 100 minutes or so of the TV series. And there's also a bonus, The Saga of a Crime Fighter. It's basically a documentary that tells the story of cartoonist Chester Gould's famous hard-boiled police detective from the pen and ink origins on a newspaper comic strip through his many incarnations of movies, radio, and television. See rare photographs and artwork, listen to radio broadcasts, and watch film clips from early serials starting Ralph Beard through the Hollywood tribute to the legendary detective starring Warren Beatty. Now, that's what I wanted to see most of all, and it's actually a pretty good, pretty good little documentary in there. that it's always neat when they include that. You can get a lot of these individually from other, you know, really, really shitty companies, to be honest, in the bargain bins. But generally with Film Chest, and even when they were, you know, listed here on the, under the Synergy label, they generally have a lot better quality because Film Chest is a restoration studio. They are able to clean a lot of these things up, and they look pretty darn good. The serial, the movies and everything, they all look actually pretty good considering they're all public domain, but they've gone and done a touch of remastering. A couple of the serial episodes and movies might be a touch on the bright side as far as contrast goes, but for me, I'm watching it on my computer. I'm actually able to go in to my video settings, and when I'm watching it, I can, you know, take the contrast down just a touch, maybe touch the brightness down, without, you know, having to do it for my TV itself. And it, you can, I can do it on like a movie or disc by disc basis, and it literally takes me 2 seconds to do that, and I was able to bring out the color, or not the color, you know, the contrast to be a little better, and I was able to see the darks a little more. Other than that, like, that's just a limitation of the actual source material, so that's not really a gripe against it. The audio sounds fine and is clear and is able to come across clearly through my center speaker on my TV or with headphones plugged in, and I didn't hear any like major crackling or anything, so it's pretty good. It's a neat little set. It has a really good box art, and it is one of those cases where they cram a lot of discs on top of each other, but they don't seem to be scratched or have any issues that way. So there's even a little like spongy sort of material inside of it that sort of keeps the case from getting crushed, so you're not going to crush the discs. Pretty cool. It's actually really well packaged. So that's going to be one I really, really like. It almost looks like a VHS tape from the thickness at the side, which is kind of fun. So this is going to be a part of my collection for a while. And I love these old, you know, comic strips slash serials slash movies. So I hope I get to review more of these things from Film Chest. And it's the kind of thing where it's been out for a little while now, but it's sort of, it's still back in print. So you're going to want to find it on, like, just typing in Dick Tracy, Dick Tracy on Amazon, and you'll see it'll be the Resynergy or Film Chest is the studio releasing it. And it'll be worth picking up, you know, depending on if it's on sale or not, you're looking at $10 to $20 or so, which is pretty good. People Are Funny is an interesting TV show, long lost into the ether of public consciousness, and it was brought back to us by Film Chest on a 3-disc set that includes 16 episodes of the show from the 1955 season. So what is People Are Funny? Well, I'll give you a better description based on the back of the box. The long-running American radio and television game show was hosted by Ark Linkletter, and the program's audiences were participating in the actual show. So basically, the audience members would be called in, and they were sent out of the studio to perform various tasks in the public. The audience was then let in on what the secret of how the participant was being tricked. So basically, it was sort of a mixture of the, like, Just for Laughs gag shows and a traditional in-studio game show. And it's kind of an interesting idea for something that ran from, you know, 55, you know, we're talking over 60 years ago, and they had a show idea that would probably work today. I've gone and watched probably out of the 16 episodes, I've watched about 8 or 9 of them right now, and I'm saving the rest to watch with family to see what they think. It was the very first game show to air repeats during its last season. So what that means is it was the first time that reruns were ever shown for a game show, which is kind of an interesting thing because, you know, now you have that happen during the summer or when a show's in its off season, but reruns were not a thing in the 50s. And you remember that in Back to the Future, they, you know, he goes, oh, I just saw that on reruns. And they're like, what's a rerun? So that's kind of neat. So the discs are a pretty cram full of episodes. It's an interesting take. I like watching especially old game shows, things that, you know, maybe wouldn't fly today or what they thought of past as a game show. Like, the best thing is in Canada, when our game shows came on from like the 70s, 80s, and 90s, they were always so shitty and lame. It was always like, you win a toaster and a $50 gift card for Zellers or something ridiculously stupid like that. So it's always neat to see shows like this pop up, and it's part of that American pop classics line that Film Chest had. it's something that I would say it's worth picking up if you're a big fan of you know, classic television. It's the kind of show that my dad loves, because he loves watching like old commercials, like old TV shows where they have, you know, instead of a real commercial, they'll have the actors walk out of the stage and then talk about cigarettes and crap. He finds that sort of stuff fun. And this is the same sort of idea. It's a nostalgic thing. It's the kind of thing where if you have a parent or grandparent that you can get this, you know, it's early, but get this as like a stocking stuffer sort of thing. It's kind of neat. You'll find it on Amazon or Film Chest's website. They have links to their stores where you can buy it from directly on there, which is pretty cool. So it's one of those odd novelties that I always love getting for review. The Shield is one of those shows that I just never got around to watching when it was on. I had heard about it, and to be honest, when it was first airing, FX either wasn't available in Canada or was on like a crazy high digital channel. Now it's like channel 15. It's we're talking basic cable. I don't know how they worked that here, but it's changed around in the years since. But I had always heard from everybody that watched it that it was the best cop show on TV, you know, that wasn't HBO, and it because you had like The Wire, Sopranos type shows, but they never were really spoken of in the same context. This was one of those shows where swearing and violence and stuff was sort of being, the boundaries are being pushed. So it was always on my radar to watch. I just never had a chance to watch it. So Mill Creek sent over their smaller repackaged version. They've put out a Blu-ray set and a DVD set of it, because originally this was released, you know, in individual seasons from Fox, and then had Fox and Sony, and Sony had like these big expensive sets. Well, Mill Creek now has the license to re-release them, and they were able to get everything into a smaller package for significantly cheaper. So I ended up getting sent the DVD set, which is cool with me, because when I popped it in, I noticed the DVDs are pretty good quality. Even with cramming, you know, anywhere from 4 to 6 episodes or so on a disc, it actually turned out pretty good. You end up with 18 discs in the set. The last couple of discs are special features. The rest are for every episode of the series. It even comes with a little booklet that has episode synopsises and pictures from each of the seasons, which is pretty, pretty cool. And I've been going through it and sort of blasting through as fast as I can to watch as much as I can of it. And it was, you know, I hadn't been feeling so good the last few days. So it was one of those sets that I just basically put on TV, and I was watching the whole day while I was typing up and doing other work. I had it on, and I found myself drifting more and more away from doing my work and just staring and watching the show, because it was that enthralling. So I don't need to go into detail about how the show is good or bad, because this show's been off the air for a few years now. It's more of, is this set worth getting? Well, you get the 88 episodes of the series, and the box is only about 2 inches thick, so it fits on your standard shelf. It's not going to be this crazy elaborate box. It's too heavy. And the fact that they were able to shrink it down onto less discs and without losing any perceivable quality is pretty amazing. The only downside I can see to this is, you know, if you're a big fan, you might want to fork out extra cash to get the Blu-ray, because you're going to get better visual quality that way. But the only other downside I see to this is the box design. It's the same sort of cardboard box that they've put out for some of their sets lately. Notably, they have a set like that for the one that I'd already reviewed, which is the Robin Hood set. But that was really, really flimsy. This has a nice hard cardboard box on the outer shell with the paper slips on the inside. So I don't think it's going to get damaged as easily. The only thing is the lid keeps popping open. I might have to put like a piece of tape on it or something to keep it down. But that's just sort of a little mini gripe on my end. Other than that, other than the packaging, this is a pretty good set. And, it, you know, it's really aggressively, reasonably priced. Sex Madness Revealed is a sort of spoof, commentary, Mystery Science Theater-esque retelling, repackaging of Sex Madness, which was one of those ridiculous exploitation films made in the 30s, similar to Reefer Madness and all that, basically to warn teenagers of the dangers of venereal disease, especially syphilis. And of course, it doesn't hold up today. It's full of inaccuracies and just flat-out lies. And it was about just under an hour long when it came out. And it's fallen into the public domain. Well, it has now been redone and put out by Kino Lorber with Sex Madness Revealed. So what do you get in that? It's basically a new film, I'm going to say in quotes, directed by a different crew of people that worked with Patton Oswalt and Rob Zabrecki to do like a Mystery Science Theater riff tracks take on it. And it's really, really interesting because I like when they go and do these types of films where, you know, they'll release a movie from the 30s, you know, redo the dialogue or redo the background or have a running commentary or a fake commentary about the making of the film, trying to give it extra meaning or have an extra story in the background, which is what this is doing, where it's trying to paint a more sinister picture of what was being made about the film. So it's pretty cool because, you know, Patton Oswalt's always funny and fantastic in everything he does. And the magician actor, Rob Zabrecki, was pretty good telling the fictitious history of the film. Now, the Blu-ray, it looks pristine, fantastic, just like pretty much everything else that Kino Lorber puts out. But what have they done you know, to make it different or make it enticing to pick up the film? Well, you get the version of the film Sex Madness Revealed, which is the new version, obviously. You also get the original film, you know, untouched with the original mono audio track. So you can watch just the Sex Madness movie as is because it's in the public domain. You get a few other little special features, like some fake background documentary stuff on Rob Zabrecki. And it's pretty cool. I would say it's worth it if you're one of those big Mystery Science Theater fans like, you know, our own Birdman is or Riff Tracks. It's pretty cool. It's not going to be for everybody. It's going to be the movie that you pull out when you're having a party with friends, you're doing, you know, a ridiculous movie night where you're showing off all these sorts of exploitation films. Or if you're looking for just something fun to watch when you need to unwind and relax, and you can throw on this old black and white movie and, you know, have it be completely torn apart to shreds by somebody like a Patton Oswalt. Pretty bare bones, straightforward release. Nothing super fancy about it, except that it's just funny as hell. So keep an eye out for that. That's Sex Madness Revealed. From Kino Lorber on Blu-ray.
Basically, he was a geek, sir.
Leave me alone, geek boy.
Holy shit, you geeks are badass.
Okay, and that's the first batch of reviews, so we're going to get into my little ranting topic right now of what life's been like right now. And I wanted to get a Turn to Treasure out actually at the end of last week and sort of keep things flowing steadily, but things went a little crazy. Basically had brother's wedding, went really fantastic. A lot of walking, a lot of steps, not so great for Alex's joints, but I basically had to take a day for recovery after the wedding, just put my legs up and go, owie, big pain, go away. So, it, like I said, it went pretty much fantastic. There wasn't any hiccups at the wedding, no falls, no ridiculous things. I had to do a big speech there as a best man, and for once I actually did a pretty good job. I didn't have to look at my notes. I made eye contact with the audience and talked, you know, made jokes, got everybody happy. There's a little crying involved. I think I did a pretty good job for a 3.5 minute speech. And then everybody else's speeches were really sappy and they were crying and looking at their notes, and I was like, ha ha ha, mine was good. But throughout this, I ended up falling ill on Tuesday, and it might have been due to contact with all the people and everything. So I basically bundled myself into bed and closed my mind off to the world for a whole day, and then I was fine. But my dad had been having some fairly serious issues with his foot. He's a diabetic, and there were some concerns. So he looked visibly ill at the wedding, but made it through the wedding and everything. And on this past Wednesday, gives a ring, says, hey, yeah, I'm going to have to go to the hospital. They're going to have to do emergency surgery on me. So I basically had to find a way in to visit him. So I got a ride in with friends through Birdman and his wife, was able, because he lives in the same town as them, and I was able to stay. His surgery was supposed to be at 3:30 in the afternoon. My grandmother shows up to be there with him too. Well, the surgery before his ended up being a disaster and went from being a 3-hour surgery to an 8-hour surgery. I think the person died because they had them on the board. Like, they have a visual board showing the status of the person, and that person was still in the room trying to be revived. Like, they have a thing saying when you're being woken up, I guess, from your anesthetic. And that was another 3 hours of that person not being awake. So it was apparently a really disastrous surgery. So my dad, who wasn't allowed to eat or drink anything since midnight beforehand and was supposed to have surgery at 3:30, didn't have surgery until 7:30 at night. Then gets out of surgery and everything. It's finally about 11 o'clock before he wakes up. Go visit him. He seems to be in good spirits. And I think he was sent home today. But, you know, then I got a ride home. Been a lot of crazy, stressful stuff in the last couple weeks. Basically, in a 2-week period, we had brother's bachelor party, brother's wedding to worry about, Mother's Day, which was the day after my brother's wedding, dad's major health issues, dad's birthday is this Sunday. Then I also, in between there, had to get blood work done myself, because I'm going probably to get the second stage of my weight loss surgery to do the full bypass, which is pretty scary. And so this coming Wednesday, I've also got an appointment in Guelph with the internal organ specialist, the internist. So all of this in the last 2 weeks or so has led to me being pretty darn stressed. But I've tried to keep my head above water and keep moving forward. And I got friends and family to help out with that, which is great. But looks like the major stuff is sort of out of the way now, knock on wood. I'm sort of clamming on my head here. And we're going to see how things move on in the coming weeks or so, what's going on. Keep checking in on Papa Richie and what's going on with all this. My brother has pretty much no idea what's going on because he's off in the Dominican Republic on his honeymoon, as it should be. So we're not going to let him know till he gets back. So surprise, motherfucker, dad almost died. So because that is not something you want on your mind when you're, you know, halfway around the world on your honeymoon. So he can find out when he gets back. And he won't listen to this podcast. So that's okay. So that's pretty much what's been going on with me. And then I've had, you know, stuff to review coming in, sort of keeping my mind occupied and busy. So there's going to be some stuff coming up soon for review, but I'll talk about that at the end of the show. That's pretty much going to be it for my rant here. It's going to be a shorter one because I don't really want to talk about this shit anymore. But, you know, for any friends and family and listeners and that are concerned or anything, everything's fine here now. Thanks for, you know, your listenership and friendship and everything. Just was a pretty touch and go scary thing and just stressful the last couple of weeks in general. So things are going to be a little better now. So we're going to be recording the Twig Show on the regular still. Nothing really changed. I don't think our schedule really changed except that my Turtle Treasure was pushed back a little bit. That's why we have a little more reviews in this episode. So let's get back to the reviews and then I'll come back at the end with sort of my final thoughts and what's up next.
Do you have any hobbies?
I collect spores, molds, and fungus.
Hold that thought. It's crapper time.
Got a game quickie here for you. Woke up the other day with an email from Accolade, the developer publisher of the Bubsy franchise, asking, hey, Alex, would you like a copy of Bubsy Paws on Fire to review? And I went, scratched my head, and I went, wait a minute, there's already a sequel to the last Bubsy game, the one that I played, I guess, a little over a year ago, which I didn't quite care for. But you know what? I always like to give Bubsy a try, and I thought, okay, sure. So I received Bubsy Paws on Fire to play on the PS4. And I found it's a completely different game style. It's not your traditional platformer. It's one of those, like, Bit Trip Runner, automatic running games. And I thought, okay, you know what, let's give it a try. I'm always willing to give something the benefit of the doubt and give something, you know, a fresh slate, especially when it's trying a different genre. And I actually like this game a lot more than I liked the last Bubsy title. There's three different modes of play. You play as Bubsy, you play as either of his friends. One of them is more an aerial in a spaceship mode, and then you also have an underground a la Sonic bonus level sort of, you know, where you're collecting the orbs. That sort of level with like an underground character. Now, is the mechanics up to snuff? Yeah, actually, it works quite well. It starts you out with a tutorial mode where you're learning all the different jumps and moves and how to time things properly. And it's pretty good. You'll die a few times when you figure out how to use the controls, but it was pretty straightforward and easy to go. There's three worlds, about 9 levels or so per world. And each of those levels, you get to play 3 different times with the different characters opening up different modes of play for each one to give it sort of a different perspective. The backgrounds can be a little bland and sort of paint together because, again, you're replaying the same levels a few times in a row. But I found the gameplay was pretty fun, so I think it's more curb your expectations on. You're not going to get this huge, epic platforming game, but then again, you didn't get that with the last release anyway. This is actually a little better, I think, because it's sort of pick up and play. You can play for 5-10 minutes at a time and get a couple levels in and, you know, be very, very satisfied. The music is a little repetitive, but again, it's about the scale and scope of the game. The music suits the style of play. The sound effects are good. You get a little opening cinematic that explains the story of the world and what's happening. You also then get right into the game. The graphics are great. There's no slowdown. I was playing it on my PS4 with zero, you know, issues at all. And I think it's actually a good way to get into this if you're not, let's say, a previous Bubsy fan. It's something you can play to pick up into the franchise. It's also something that I think kids can pick up because, you know, these runners are all the craze the last 5 years or so. So, you know what? It's actually a good move, I think, for Accolade. And it's, you know, reasonably priced. So check it out on, like, I guess, the digital stores for, you know, your home consoles to play this. I would suggest getting it on the PS4 because that's how I played it. And I found no issues whatsoever with it. So, you know what? I can't believe it, but I think I'm actually going to recommend a Bubsy title. And I mean, kudos to them. I really hope that this is a sign of things to come. Maybe we'll get a Bubsy RPG or a Bubsy pinball game or something interesting later in the future. But Bubsy Paws on Fire, pretty good. Drunk Parents is coming out on Blu-ray on May 21st from VVS Films. And they sent me a copy to check out ahead of time and sort of give you my thoughts on it. And I'll say this. When I saw the trailer for it, I thought, ooh, I don't know. Back when it was going to have a limited release in theaters, I just thought the trailer didn't really appeal to me. And then, of course, you see all the negative reviews that were pertaining to this film. And I thought, you know what, I'll give it a try because I have seen movies that were not critically well acclaimed, but I ended up loving anyway. For instance, like Miss March has like a horrible Rotten Tomatoes rating and IMDb review rating, and it's one of my favorite movies of all time. And you know, you can fight me on it. I don't care. I always liked Miss March, so I went into Drunk Parents thinking, all right, clean slate. Let's see what it is. And it's basically a movie about parents that were drunk, obviously, trying to cover up the fact that they're basically out of money using various schemes, and it involves neighbors and people in their lives. And it's a pretty star-studded cast of guest stars. You know, they got Colin Quinn, Joe Manganiello, Jim Gaffigan, and the list goes on and on and on of character actors, comedians, and people that are a part of the film, led by Selma Hayek and Alec Baldwin, who are charming as always and perfectly suited for these roles. So, you know, is this going to take the world by storm? No, I don't think so. I think it just didn't hit where the mainstream wanted, where they wanted the mainstream to hit with it. I thought it was a lot better than the reviews were saying about it. I thought that it's one of those movies that I can throw on a weekend when it's rainy, you know, and have them in sequence with a bunch of other films and have like a dumb comedy weekend. I think that sometimes critics are a little too harsh because they are trying to look for high art in their comedy. And you know what? Sometimes you need a dumb, stupid comedy. And that's what this is. So I actually had a pretty good time with it. So, you know, it's averaging about a 3.6 or so out of 10 on IMDb and other sites. It's higher than that. To me, it's about a 6, 6.5. You know, a passable, fun comedy that you can watch again and again, and you're not going to get extremely bored of it. It's not perfect. It has its flaws. It's not going to be like a Planes, Trains, and Automobiles or something like that that's going to be a classic forever. It is going to be an enjoyable comedy, though, that you can easily pick up and buy. I would say buy it if you're a big fan of any of the actors in it. If you are just a big comedy fan, go ahead, especially if it's you know, fairly cheap for you, where you find it on your Walmart shelf or on Amazon or something. If not, it's still worth a watch. So, you know, check it out. VVS Films website will have information on it. Check out the trailers. Again, don't necessarily go by the trailers, because I personally thought that the trailers for this were as representative of the film as they could have been. So, you know, there's nothing wrong technically with the film. As far as the disc goes, it's fairly bare bones. Includes like a little, you know, little feature here and there. Nothing to write home about. But it was a well-enjoyed thing. I ended up watching it on the weekend and had a pretty good time with it. So that's Drunk Parents from VVS Films. It's going to be out on May 21st. If you're a big comedy fan, check it out. Got a bit of a 1-2 punch here from Wellgo USA. We've got Big Brother starring Donnie Yen, and we have Triple Threat. Triple Threat starring basically a slew of action movie stars. We got Tony Jaa. We've got Tiger Chen, Scott Adkins, Michael J. White, Michael Bisping, and, you know, the list goes on and on of other people that you may have known from mixed martial arts or Asian cinema. So let's crack into the Big Brother film first. And how can I really describe it? It's basically like a Kindergarten Cop meets Donnie Yen action crazy movie, only not Kindergarten Kids. Basically, it's an action crazy story starring a action star that is going to beat up the bad people, protecting students, and that's all you really need to know. The movie is in traditional Chinese with English subtitles. Easy enough to follow. Donnie Yen is fantastic as always. He's always like the modern day Jackie Chan slash Jet Li sort of rolled up into one. You've known him now more for doing stuff like Star Wars for those that are more in the mainstream, but I've been following his work for quite some time, and he's always had some fantastic, you know, choreography in his movies, and this is no exception. Fun action film. If you're a big martial arts fan, you're going to want to pick it up. That's pretty straightforward. Easy review. Moving on to Triple Threat. With Triple Threat, we have one of those standard, almost 80s, early 90s action film plot lines. Humanitarian mission in Thailand to free prisoners, you know, goes wrong. And then basically all chaos and hell breaks loose. And it's all about survival and killing the bad guys and blah-de-blah-blah-blah. You're not here for this. You're here for, is the action good? Do the action stars sort of mesh well together? Yes. Everybody in this film has really good chemistry. It is one of those films where there's a mixture of languages in it. So English is the primary language, but you have a little Thai being spoken, Indonesian, Mandarin, and you know, it's subtitles for when there needs to be subtitles. But for the majority of the film, it's an English, you know, role, because you're not going to have Michael J. White trying to speak other languages or Michael Bisping. But they all seem to mesh well together. The action was pretty good. It's, you know, a great, I would say, like, Saturday afternoon action kung fu movie. You know, had this come out in the early 90s, it would have been, you know, a gigantic hit starring a bunch of other big action stars. I kind of wish this had gone into theaters in my local area, because I would have definitely paid money to go see it. I had a ton of fun with it. It's sitting around a 67% or so on Rotten Tomatoes, which is, as far as approval rating, I could see that. Not every critic's going to like it. I personally did. I would give it about a 7, 7.5 out of 10 on the action film scale. And I would definitely pay pretty much full price for it because it's not an expensive movie. Yeah, you're going to look, depending on if it's on sale, about $20 or so. Same goes for Big Brother. I really like what Welgo is putting out, a lot of these, you know, crazy action films. It's almost like this is like Southeast Asian or like East Asian, like Spendables, I guess, sort of like when they're putting these films together with like at least four or five names that, you know, like a Michael Bisping, who's, you know, UFC champion. You got a Michael J. White, who has been, you know, rocking the action film scene now since, I guess it would have been his appearance in like Toxic Avenger 2 way back in the day. So that's pretty awesome. I would say it's worth watching if you're a fan of action, period. It's worth owning if you're a fan of any of these people. Tony Jaa always has amazing, you know, stunt choreography. So I would say pick this up pretty much as soon as you can. If you see it pop up in your Walmart, your local video store, or on Amazon. So that's Triple Threat, released by Welgo USA. And we've got both of them together. It makes a 1-2 punch, you know, maybe for Father's Day coming up. Maybe pick up both of them. You're going to like Big Brother and Triple Threat.
Those magnificent bastards!
Color me kooky, but something very odd is going on around here.
You're not allowed to talk anymore.
And that's going to be it for the show. Like, we've come to the end, finally. So, what is going on next? Well, we have, I think, in a couple days, maybe 1 to 2 days, we're going to have a new This Week in Geek episode out. As usual, we'll probably have, as long as Birdman's on it, one of those syndicated episodes of the Nerd to the Third. That it's been great that we've been partnering with them so that we have new content every week, and they have new content with Birdman. We've probably got some more shows on the go soon. We're trying to get together to do more commentaries now, but it's been a little wonky right now with schedules for people and such. But as far as what is on the horizon for me, I just, as of this recording, received a review copy of Legend of Heroes Trails of Cold Steel 2 Remastered. I reviewed the first one just a little while ago, so I'm going to crack into that and go hard as a motherfucker and beat that, and we'll see you know, if it holds up as well as the first remaster does. So that'll be occupying a fair chunk of my time. I've probably got some more review stuff coming up soon, but that is everything on the horizon right now, so I can focus on one game currently. And I know Birdman's going to be cracking into the his reviews. He's got a couple, I believe, on the go right now. One is Fade to Silence, and I'm not sure the rest of the stuff that he has going, but then he's also going to be trying to balance in playing the PlayStation TV that I let him borrow, that I have, that has Persona 3 Portable and Persona 4 Golden on there. So I'm sorry to his wife, Blair. I know you've lost him. He will be gone for the next 200 hours or so, and please don't hate me. That's all I can say. So I'm not sure what else he's going to be doing. You know, after that, he might have to, you know, unplug from the internet and unplug from all RPGs for a little bit once he's had 300 hours worth in three games. But we're not entirely sure. We'll see where it goes from here. So that's going to be it for me right now. I will be back on the regular show and A Turtle Treasure as soon as I have more stuff to review. So, all right, talk to you people later.
Well, that's our show.
All right, here's the deal. Every time you watch my show, I will send you $40.
Checks will not be honored.
You've been listening to This Week in Geek, your source for guaranteed nonsense or your money back. Tune in next week for more info and the most important things you didn't need to know. Check out our website at thisweekingeek.net and subscribe to our podcast through iTunes or any podcatcher. If you'd like to comment on this episode, head over to this episode's post at thisweekingeek.net and leave a comment through Facebook Connect. Follow us on Twitter at thisweekingeek.net and follow our Instagram at twig_official_podcast. Social media not your thing? Send us an email at feedback@thisweekingeek.net. We'll see you next time, and remember,
lower your shields and surrender your listenership.
Just when you think this show is terrible, something wonderful happens.
What?
It ends.
I have to go. Somewhere there is a crime happening.
Mr. Garrison, haven't you figured it out? Timmy's retarded.
Don't call people names, Stanley.
But he is.
Now, Timmy, you need to work on your study skills.
Duh.
Are you mocking me? Because if you are, I have no problem sending your butt to the principal's office.
Live it out, come on.